This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And you may have heard on the 5 o'clock news, you may also have been seeing it pop up in headlines. The announcement of the 9th Prime Minister of Malaysia, Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, has been made. So that's something that we're going to be getting into a little bit later. Send us your thoughts, though. To start off, we wanted to talk about something that happened last night. So you may have seen videos and posts circulating on social media of a gathering in interrupted by the police, with 31 people being taken to the station. It was during a candlelight vigil at Dataran Merdeka that was to commemorate the thousands who have died of COVID-19. So what was upsetting to many participants and the people who shared these images on social media was the force that was displayed by the police and the fact that many of the people who were being taken into the Black Marias weren't being told if they were arrested or not.
Yes, so essentially 31 people were taken to the police station, 17 men, 14 women, mostly youths, and these were participants from the Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat, or SSR, who were the organizers of the Lawan protest a couple of weeks ago. And really, the videos that came out yesterday and that were being posted even as they were being taken into the police station were what caught so much attention, right? Because it just looked like it was a lot of chaos, really, and what seemed like use of unnecessary force by the police, people in the protest trying to ascertain whether they were actually being arrested and not being given a clear answer, instead being told that it was for documentation purposes, and yet then dragging them almost into the van. Some were being lifted. Essentially, it brought up a lot of questions in terms of why this was happening and whether this is how the police should be treating people.
Yeah, I think particularly because we have been seeing that this is a pretty soon after the recent Lawan protests. It also comes after, and this is something that we covered on our show, right? We've been seeing investigations of activists in recent times, of people being taken in for investigation, of people being unsure, really, where the line is between being able to speak their minds and talk about what is happening in the country, or in this case, even just to mark the fact, even just to kind of honour the fact that there have been people who have passed on, and just properly indicating that, properly showing what they are, or properly gathering, right, in order to do that safely, outdoors and so on. I think the concern here is not being sure exactly where that line is and why it is, therefore, that law enforcement can react, you know, the way that we saw. So to hear what it was like at Dataran Merdeka last night, we asked someone who was there to share their experiences. Here is Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18.
So the Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat had organized a simple candlelight vigil at Dataran Merdeka to mourn the deaths of 13,000 people who have died, not just because of COVID, but also a government failure. And we wanted to just respectfully make space for our friends and also the public. So we had about 40-something people just lighting up candles. We put up a sign that said, Bela Sungkawa, Jiwa-Jiwa yang telah pergi, which means, in memory of the people that have left us. And then we had some roses, and we also had some candlelights. And as we were setting up, the police came and immediately ordered us to leave, citing that we were not allowed to gather. So we emphasized that it is not a protest, it is not a large gathering, we just wanted to hold a vigil. And then after we had a eulogy prepared, and after we said the eulogy, we would safely leave the area. So by that time, when we started, they allowed us to start the speeches. And then when we started the speech, by the time we started the speeches, about half of us already had our ICs taken, despite them saying that we would not be arrested. So a lot of people had already had their ICs seized at that time. After the speeches ended, the police started coming closer and closer to the group of young people and demanded everyone to surrender their IC. Everyone was asking, am I being arrested? Am I being arrested? Adakah saya ditahan? Kenapa perlu ambil IC saya? The police only mentioned that it's for documentation purposes. So we offered for them to take a photo of our IC instead, but they refused and they demanded everyone to surrender their ICs. So it was quite a scary situation, and the police were screaming at everyone. They divided the group into male and female, and then after the young men were dragged with force, with really excessive use of force, each guy was dragged into the Black Maria police trucks with about two or three officers just pushing and pulling their arms with no social distancing, no SOPs followed at all. The rest of the policemen came closer to the group of girls and started screaming and yelling at them, yelling at us, telling us that if we didn't want to be dragged into the Black Maria like the men, we have to follow their instructions. So two of our colleagues, Nalina Nair and Yishan, kept demanding their rights to be read to them if they were arrested. So the police, they needed four police women to carry Yishan into the Black Maria by force, to the point where her shirt was lifted, and also, and it was just extremely dehumanizing to see that. And I think, and then afterwards, the rest of us were also just pushed and pulled up from the ground and pushed into the truck to be brought into IPD Dang Wangi. The whole time this was happening, the police were also chasing away the media and refused to allow media to document what was happening, which I think is also a huge blow towards media freedom here in Malaysia. At the police station, we were denied access to our lawyers. We were not allowed to contact our lawyers. Our phones were confiscated, and we were asked to give statements under duress, because when we asked for our lawyers before giving our statement, they said that, it was not, they mentioned that it was not an arrest, it was only taking statements. Despite that, whatever statement we give to the police, we have a right to have our lawyer represent us. Only halfway through the investigation of the 31 activists, three lawyers were allowed to enter the room. But even then, it was very difficult, because only three for 31 people, and they still did not allow us to contact the outside world. And after taking the statements, everyone had their fingerprints taken and also mugshots. Really, so you really felt like you were a common criminal in a sense, right? And then when we entered the balai, IP Dang Wangi, we had a mark on our arm to number us, so that we were not asked, it didn't feel like you were treated like human being lah, basically. And then after about 4 hours of questioning, we were all released with a compound of 2,000 ringgit each, which brings up to 62,000 ringgit. At this point, the Secretariat of Solidarity Rakyat is looking to either challenge the compound and also suing the police for unlawful detention, excessive use of force. So we are currently in talks with our lawyers to discuss what is the next step.
That was Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18, talking about really the experiences that the people who were there, Dataran Merdeka, last night went through.
And just to be clear, the Dang Wangi police chief, Nur Dilhan Yahya, has said that essentially the people that were taken in have had investigations open against them under the Peaceful Assembly Act, as well as the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act. As of now, they've each been fined, compounded 2,000 ringgit.
So let us know, what did you think of this incident? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Goh Chia Yee, who is a criminal lawyer, activist and representative of the Young Lawyers Movement. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bia Fakiran Malayang, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the hashtag Lawan vigil that happened last night in Dataran Merdeka that was interrupted by the police and ultimately had 31 people being taken to the station. If you missed it earlier, we heard from Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18, about what it was like to be there on the ground yesterday. And now joining us to discuss this further, we do want to hear, though, what do you make of this? Send us your thoughts. Joining us now to talk about it is Goh Chia Yee, criminal lawyer, activist and representative of the Young Lawyers Movement. Chia Yee, thank you so much for joining us. So let's start with what happened last night. What are your observations on how the participants of the vigil were treated by the police?
So personally, I wasn't there at the vigil itself, but from the videos that I could see on social media, especially on Twitter, we could see these participants being dragged by their arm and by their feet as well into what we call a Black Maria, basically a huge truck, which is used by the police to transport them to the police station. From the videos, you can observe that there was some force that was used to basically effect an arrest upon these participants. And that is what I observed from what I saw in the videos on social media.
To be clear, were the participants arrested?
I think the answer to this question is very clear. They were clearly arrested. This is because under Section 15, Subsection 1 of the Criminal Procedure Code, an arrest can be effected without actually having to touch a person or to confine them to a space if they submit to the custody or word or action of the police. So in this instance, what's happening is that their movement is being confined by the police. And so it's a clear arrest that's being effected upon these participants. So I'm made to understand that the participants were informed that they were not being arrested. But from what I can see in the videos and from what I was informed, I would say that there was clearly an arrest that was done on these participants yesterday night.
So let's go through some of the events, right? There were a number of videos where the participants repeatedly asked if they were being arrested. The police did not reply. What is the proper procedure in the event of an arrest?
So the proper procedure is that as soon as you are arrested, you ought to be informed about the grounds of arrest, meaning the reasons as to why you are being arrested. And this is detailed in Section 28 of the Criminal Procedure Code, as well as under Article 5 of the Federal Constitution. So this is a fundamental right of an individual to be informed about the grounds of their arrest. So after they're arrested, they're also given an opportunity to consult a legal practitioner or to contact a family member or relative. So that's something that needs to be done as well. And maybe I can answer later on about regards to consulting a legal practitioner, what the process is for that.
So as a refresher then, if we ever find ourselves in police custody or under investigation, what are some of the most immediate things that we should be requesting? What are we allowed to ask for?
So basically, when you find yourselves in the custody of a police officer, the first thing you should do is to keep in mind that you should try to cooperate with the police as much as you could. So what I mean by this is that you shouldn't be trying to struggle or fight against the police. Because they actually, under the law, the police have a wide range of powers to use any force which is reasonable to effect your arrest, which means they can drag you, they can pull you, they can basically push you down if they have the power to arrest you without a warrant. So in a situation like that, if you are fighting against what the police officer is doing, you may find yourself being investigated for a charge under Section 186 of the Penal Code, which is basically obstructing a police officer in the discharge of his duties, which is a position you don't want to be in. So basically, when you find yourself potentially being in the custody of the police, just keep calm. Don't panic. Just ask the police, are you being arrested? And if so, what are the grounds for your arrest? But as we can see what happened last night, even when the participants were asking the police, this may not necessarily be disclosed to them. But I think it's if you ever find yourself in such a position and it's clear that you're being under arrest, then I think it's best to just go along with what the police is saying at the moment, because it can get quite messy if you don't. And like I've said before, you have the right to consult a legal practitioner, and your right to do so is before any questions about the case or anything that you've done is put towards you. So before an interview is performed, or under Section 112, where they take your statement down, you have a right to consult a legal practitioner, to meet with a legal practitioner, to speak to them, basically to get some advice about what is happening and what your rights are when you're being questioned.
Now, some of the participants were dragged away, even carried by their hands and legs. Can a person be forcibly taken like this?
So under Section 15 of the Criminal Procedure Code, if a person forcibly resists the endeavor to arrest him or attempt to evade the arrest, such officer or other person may use all means necessary to effect the arrest. So this is actually quite a wide range of powers. So the only thing they can't do really is to cause your death or from their efforts to arrest you. So I think my advice to anybody that finds themselves in that position is to basically just listen to the police, keep calm. Well, yes, you have your rights and all that, but there are many instances, especially when it comes to the practical reality of things, that your rights may not necessarily be translated sometimes. So it's best to just go along where the police says at the moment in time. So while I understand there's a need for you to feel like to protect your rights and all that, but like I said earlier, it could potentially lead to a situation where you may end up, instead of being being made to pay a compound, you may actually be facing a charge in court, a criminal charge in court for obstructing an officer in the discharge of his duties. So that's something that needs to be considered.
Looking at all that happened last night, why is this behavior from the police cause for concern?
When you see something like that happening, you feel some form of injustice occurring, because in our minds, and maybe look at the situation as objectively as we could, these people are just basically gathering to do a candlelight vigil in order to commemorate all the lives that have been lost during the pandemic. And they were just following the SOP. They were there. They were compliant with whatever was required of them. Perhaps they didn't put in a notice beforehand, but what they did didn't exactly bring any harm to the public because it was a closed event. And if they followed the standard operating procedures, I don't think any harm would have arisen from their event. As pointed out by the Director General of Health as well, there was no clusters from their previous protest that was held as well. So we can see a situation, a precedent that people who gather might not necessarily be people who are transmitting COVID-19. So what the police did yesterday when they were dragging them and moving them to the Black Maria or the trucks, it's a bit uncalled for in my personal opinion, because if you truly care about the spread of COVID-19 and the purpose on which the SOPs are in place, which is to prevent the spread of the virus, then you shouldn't be gathering everyone into a truck, into a single truck where everybody is obviously unable to comply with the social distancing protocols. And then bringing everyone into the same room later on in the police station, where the police station itself has previously been like a red zone for COVID-19, is definitely not the way the police should be handling this scenario.
So we saw 31 participants being fined 2,000 ringgit under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988. They're also being investigated under Section 9 of the Peaceful Assembly Act 2012 for failing to notify authorities of the gathering. Could you explain the laws in effect here and how they're being applied?
So I think it's important to note that with the enactment of the Peaceful Assembly Act 2012, it's basically a legislation which does not prevent you from having peaceful assembly. It provides a situation where you can basically have a peaceful assembly, but you need to follow by some of the guidelines which are set out in the legislation, or to follow some of the rules there. So by failing to write a notice, it doesn't necessarily mean that your assembly is illegal. Yes, there are illegal assemblies, but that's a separate question. But if your assembly is well within what is allowed by the Peaceful Assembly Act, a failure to provide a notice doesn't make your assembly illegal. It just means that you're subject to a compound, which is what was the case last night. Although the compound that was issued against the 31 participants were not under the Peaceful Assembly Act, it was under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act. Specifically, there were the Peraturan-Peraturan, which was recently gazetted, and they were fined 2,000 ringgit each. So it's just a compound. It's not like a criminal offense where you would have to declare and say that you're a convicted criminal. It's not. It's just a compound. So it's like if you get a compound and if you pay early, then sometimes you can get a discount, right? So it operates basically like that. So it's not something like a criminal offense. So just keeping in mind that this is just a compound, it's kind of from my personal point of view, absurd for the participants to be treated that way when all they were basically going for on that night was just to issue compounds against the participants. It's not like they were criminals that committed a crime, or like they were, you know, in possession of drugs or something like that, you know? They are just basically people who were trying to commemorate all the deaths that have occurred during the pandemic. And I think their treatment is totally uncalled for, in my opinion.
So there have been calls to hold PDRM accountable for all of this. Some have suggested that the participants should sue them. Others are talking about investigations. What are the mechanisms available for this?
I know that there has been talks by some of the participants as well as some of the lawyers that were there last night in terms of trying to pursue legal action for what had happened last night. And I don't know whether I'm entitled to disclose much about that, but some of the things that can be done by the participants, they can actually lodge a police report at the police station and say that basically their rights were denied. So then what will happen is that once they make a police report, an investigation has to be done into the matter. So this, the problem with that is just that the people who are conducting the investigation are the very people that are being investigated, sort of. So that can be a problem in terms of ensuring an independent form of investigation into the matter, especially when the instructions that they received are from their higher-ups. So I think it's a very unlikely situation. Another one is away from the criminal route is to pursue civil action against the police officers or the police as a whole for the actions, their actions last night. And I think that this is something that can be pursued as well. And it's definitely something that should be explored. Because I think if you want to hurt someone, there's no better way to do it in a very civil manner other than, you know, going straight for their wallet. So I think that's an option that can be considered by the participants as well as some of the legal practitioners that were there last night. So that's just my answer to that question.
What message would you like to leave us with?
I think I get a lot of questions as to what I should do, you know, in the event that the police comes up to me, or like, how should I avoid being arrested? How should I avoid being investigated? Well, I think that we're in a time where even just tweeting something like 3 question marks can get you called in by the police. So really anything you do, if anybody wants to find fault with you, they could. We're living in a situation where anyone who makes a report against somebody, the police will call that person in for questioning.
Chia-Yi, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Goh Chia-Yi, criminal lawyer, activist and representative of the Young Lawyers Movement, talking about the situation last night in which 31 people attending a candlelight vigil were taken to a police station without being told whether they were being arrested or not. And so we'd like to know, what are your thoughts? Send them our way. We'll be back after the news to also talk about the appointment of Ismail Sabri as the 9th Prime Minister. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.